You're listening to Liverpool Live. This is Radio City Talk.
My name's Mick. It's just gone 20 to 12 and it's Radio City Talk on a Tuesday. Tonight, Everton AGM, and that's when shareholders get an update as the situation of the club as we move into 2018. What are they looking at in terms of plans on and off the field? I'm sure the ownership of the club will be raised as an issue. Performances, managers, player recruitment, you name it, it's all up there. John Blaine joins us in the studio. He's an Everton shareholder and he'll be at that meeting tonight. John, great to see you. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, good morning.
AGM.
It's afternoon almost.
Yeah. Nearly afternoon. AGM, something you look forward to?
Always, yeah. I mean, it should be the highlight of the year for shareholders. So, yeah, absolutely.
What are you expecting to be the theme of the AGM? Or what do you think expect those key themes to be?
The key themes, I mean, every year when we have the general meeting, it follows a pretty formulaic approach because it talks through the accounts and those sorts of things. But the thing that'll be at front of mind for everybody, obviously, is the new stadium on the banks of the Royal Blue Mersey. So hoping to hear good news about that. And hopefully some images as well.
Well, I was going to say, how important are, you know, pictures speak a thousand words, and there have been a thousand words on this new stadium. How important is it, do you think, for fans tonight to see an impression of what this new stadium will look like?
I think it's pretty vital. I think if the football club, and sorry, I should say, I'm pretty damn certain that there will be images. I also expect that Dan Myes will make an appearance either in person, which I doubt, but certainly on video or something.
He's the chief architect.
He's the architect, absolutely. But this thing's been running for quite a while now. The chief executive did a statement recently which suggests that the opening of the stadium is going to be delayed by a year or a year later than we thought it was going to be. So I think some good news and some evidence of progress and pictures, they do, that's what will drag attention. And if it looks as iconic as Dan has teased everyone for the last year on Twitter, then it's going to be really good.
Just tell me about your thoughts on the statement from the chief executive, which emerged over the Christmas New Year period. And it kind of said, things are a little bit more expensive than we anticipated, and maybe we're not going to be in there as soon as possible. I think the plan originally was for the club to be in just ahead of what would then become a Commonwealth city of Liverpool. That's now not being the case.
That's right.
Were you disappointed with that, or was that an expectation that maybe this was very ambitious, that nothing appeared to be really happening, and therefore why would the stadium suddenly magically appear over a short 2.5-3 year period?
Yeah, I mean, the statement says that we'll be in there, 22-23, so that's 5 years almost, yeah? That's a long time. I mean, it's a difficult site, so I think there'll be a lot of site preparation. The physical build of the stadium itself might take two and a half years or something. So it's disappointing that it's gone out a year. I think the chief exec said in that statement that there was a little bit of distraction because of the Commonwealth Games. He's naturally a cautious man, so you never know, it may come back again. Yeah, but right now I think it's realistic, and I think what shareholders and the fans in general would want to see is that something is demonstrably achievable. Yeah.
In terms of those images as well and how you look at it, presumably as a shareholder, you're looking at other stadium projects that are going on around Europe. What sort of things are you seeing? What sort of maybe lessons are you learning? For instance, you know, Tottenham Hotspur, you can look at what they're doing, the amount of money that they're having to spend to achieve that stadium and the way that that stadium will work. Equally, you could look at Atletico Madrid and the work that they have done at a significantly lower cost, but on a already established stadium site.
That's right. I mean, it's always the upgrade. We had this for many years, didn't we? Do we upgrade Goodison Park or do we go to a new build? The site that we have is probably more expensive to build upon because of the site preparations being a dock and all those sorts of things. I think the chief exec said in his statement that there's a 20% premium on that site, so we could get exactly the same stadium somewhere else, yeah, for less. But if you look at the sort of thing that Tottenham are doing, that's very formulaic, it's a bowl, those sorts of things. So the excitement, I think, that will come tonight is, does it look different? Does it satisfy the design brief about the most atmospheric stadium, perhaps in Europe or even the world? And, of course, the site itself, being on the banks of the Royal Blue Mersey, is just going to be superb. So let's wait and see.
Oh, there must be a stadium in existence, a new-build stadium, which you've seen and thought, a little bit of that, please. We'll have a little bit of that. That'll work for us. It might be in Germany. It might be in Russia. It's probably not in Italy.
Yeah, I've looked at, as we all have, you know, you go on the websites and you look at stadiums. But maybe I'm just being a bit romantic that being Everton, whatever it turns out to be, will be different. Yeah. And that site at Bramley Moor is fantastic. So, no, I'm quite open as an individual. I'm not saying, oh, please build us one like that. And there will be some debate about the big home ends that the chief exec wants. But for me, the real key design criteria is that close proximity to the pitch and the thing that will create a cauldron of atmosphere. Because at the end of the day, and it's a bit cliched, football's nothing without fans, and we all really need to be right on top of the pitch.
John Blaine is with us, Everton shareholder. He'll be at tonight's AGM. The stadium, of course, big issue there as well. Often at the AGMs you have, here are some figures, but this takes into account the sale of Mauro and Fellaini, or the sale of Romelu Lukaku, or the unique departure of Roberto Martinez, and yet now, of course, the Koeman departure and Koeman team departure as well, these one-off associated costs as well. These one-off costs come around pretty regularly, don't they?
Historically, not with Everton, no, but recently, yes. Of course, the departure of Koeman and his team won't be in these accounts anyway. The accounts typically are driven by, as you describe them, one-off events. And certainly these accounts are quite positive in the sense that largest revenues, we're in profit again, and so on. And that profitability broadly is drawn from the fact that we've had increased TV revenues and, of course, that we sold John Stones. So that gives you an example of the latency almost in when these things start appearing in the numbers. Because in these numbers is the sale of John Stones. And, of course, most of us would think, oh, that was ages ago. But yeah, I mean, they're going in the right direction, but we still lag our peers in commercial income and things like that. So still work to be done.
I was going to say the new shirt sponsorship and shoulder sponsorship, if they call it that, won't be included, I don't think, in these sets of figures.
Not particularly, right? Not for a full year effect. No.
And in terms of the club moving forward, the idea that the commercial viability is improving based on the Premier League's organised TV deal, although that's Everton are involved in those
negotiations. That's fair enough, yeah.
Do you take that as, but the club does have a plan to grow commercially and grow itself commercially?
I mean, I would expect, and I had some dialogue over the last couple of days through email and what have you with the club, and questions around commercial performance are likely to be quite front of mind for many people this evening, because if you strip away what you just said, you've been polite, the gifted income that comes from broadcast revenues, and if we take away what is an associated opportunity, the USM stuff at Finch Farm, if you take those away, the organic growth within the commercial performance is in the right direction, but still way off what the competition is doing. And when we talk on our Everton Business Matters podcast, I come up with it almost an analogy, really. If it's a foot race, we're running faster, but the people we're trying to catch are running faster again. So even though we're running faster than we were, we're still falling behind. And that, I really hope that the club has got designs on what we're going to do about commercial income, because until the new stadium comes, we can't affect match day income. Broadcasters, everybody gets it. Selling players, academy, and I think we'll see that we're doing great work in the academy as a production line. Some players will end up in the team, but I think the majority of those will be sold. Yeah, and that's your income streams. And the other one where we perhaps need to step up our game is the commercial one.
Is there not a danger, though, that people see the new stadium as being the commercial future for the club? And with that comes corporate sponsorship and, of course, the issue of ticket prices, getting more fans into the game, encouraging fans to buy, the appropriate donuts or the appropriate soft drink. And actually, it comes down to those fans who end up going to the game end up being that extra money.
Maybe people have that fear, I don't talk our podcast up too much, but the Esk, who does the podcast with me, he's written, on his blog frequently about this. And I think a key message for people to remember and understand is that we will probably triple or quadruple the number of hospitality type places, which are the premium seats, which generate lots of the income. But we should be able to hold our wonderful low ticket pricing for, kids and for the normal fan, if you will, at the levels that we have today, and still significantly increase our revenues and still more than comfortably service the debt that will be associated with the stadium. And we shouldn't forget, if you take our local competition here, our most expensive season ticket costs less than their cheapest one. And I think that'll stay the way for quite a long time. So, no, I don't think the average fan is going to see a huge increase in ticket pricing because of the new stadium at Bramley Moor at all.
Who are you expecting to be on the top table tonight?
All the board will be there. Mr. Mashiri will probably be there as well, I would think.
And what will be the first question?
From the audience?
Yeah.
Oh, crikey. Don't know. Depends who the facilitator points at. Yeah.
Will it be planted?
They are seeded, the audience. They have been in the past. So I guess it'll be a positive question. But I think the business and the chief exec, he knows where the obvious questions are going to come. They're going to come from the revenue, the stuff we've just talked about, the commercial income challenge, the increase in other operating costs, and indeed the cost of the board itself, which has doubled in the last year, albeit it's still way lower than our competition. So it could be any of those.
John, thank you for your time. Enjoy it.
I will indeed. Yeah.
I think you will. Yeah. You've certainly got a good few podcasts. If people want to find out some more about the work you do podcasting-wise, where can we currently hear you and where can we hear you next?
Oh, you can say, take us off the Blue Room, but we typically have hash Everton Business Matters as the tag, so you'll find it with that.
Radio City Talk. Liverpool Live with Mick Coyle.